A reading from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord. The epistle for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. "I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away." The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As they went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we in the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. All week I've been thinking about perceiving the glory of his marvelous works. I live in the Carson Valley. We have some unparalleled sunrises and sunsets, maybe due to pollution, but you know what? You take what you can get. It's the calving season, and we have bald eagles, golden eagles, hawks, raptors of all kinds arrive to feed on the nutritious afterbirth so that they, in turn, can feed their young. We have the snowy sierras. The best view of the snowy sierras are right where we are. It doesn't get any better. And I have to say, the trip up here this morning, it was frosty and crisp, but it was exquisite. It was marvelous. And the clear blue skies and the warm sun, it doesn't get any better. At Coventry Cross on New Year's Eve, Reverend Elizabeth Tattersall preached at the regular morning service and at the evening one, where we wrote our disappointments, worries, failures, and all things we were glad to be rid of as 2017 came to an end, on slips of paper, and we burned them. As cathartic as that was, when Elizabeth told of a conversation she had had with a friend who was spiritual but not religious, a doubter, she told him that she believed in God and that she believed that Jesus was sent as an example to us. In the first service, she told of driving home 2 days before Christmas after spending a week helping a friend recover from major surgery. And she said to her husband, "It's 2 days before Christmas and I'm not ready." And he said, "We love each other. We're ready." It undid me, and it's undone me again. 2017 was a rough year for a lot of people. My life was turned upside down. But in the process, I got to review and toss out the bad and realign my sights towards the future that I have lived my whole life for. And what a huge gift that is. It's really incredibly simple and incredibly hard. In God is my safety and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge. Steadfast love is yours, O Lord, for you repay everyone according to his deeds. Then last week, Reverend Shep Curtis did the sermon at Coventry Cross. He said that we can only do our best. We cannot make anyone learn from the example we present. But as Christians, we are obligated to be the very best example we can be, regardless. Then he said sadly how painful it is to watch loved ones choose to learn the hard way, repeatedly. Two of my three children did everything the hard way. When I taught my son to parallel park, I set up car-shaped boxes on our street and explained where to stop the car, when to turn as he backed up, and how sharply, when to straighten up. And he said, "Show me." So I did. Then he got in the car and said, "I'm going to do it my way." There were boxes all over the place. It was incredible. I hate to think if there had been real cars there. Then he did it his way. Then he did it my way, I beg your pardon. Perfectly. When all else fails, do what Mama says. It's kind of become a mantra in our house. And needless to say, at 31 years of age, I still occasionally get calls at 2 a.m. when he says, "Mama, you were right." Again. And he tells me about the mistakes he's made and how he's broken his heart again. But he does watch and he does listen and he does ask for forgiveness. But he still has to do it the hard way, and I still have to love him. Because sometimes I think I may be the only one who does. And all this brings me in a roundabout way to Nineveh and poor old Jonah. So God sent Jonah to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, the nation that destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel and held the southern kingdom of Judah a hostage for 100 years. Assyria was Israel's worst enemy, tearing it up and changing its fortunes forever. So Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh, basically the our equivalent of the ISIS stronghold, to prophesy to the enemy and announce God's judgment. Oy vey. Jonah bailed and ended up in a whale for a long weekend. And he quoted a psalm. It wasn't even his words. Today's reading from Jonah is the second attempt to follow God's instructions. He's pretty wimpy, but I sure wouldn't want to do what he was asked to do. So the king listened to Jonah and demanded that everyone, livestock and all, be covered in sackcloth and ashes. Now that conjures up a vision, doesn't it? Imagine Carson Valley in January with every cow covered in sackcloth and ashes. I suppose the eagles and the hawks and the everything else as well. We are supposed to align ourselves with Jonah. We're asked to prophesy to the great unwashed. And we can identify with Jonah because what a hero. He converted the enemy. This is Superman stuff, right? It seems very unlikely to me. It's the equivalent of the Coptic Christians of Egypt converting ISIS with their forgiveness after one of the attacks on their church. The book of Jonah is read in the Jewish calendar of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when Jews confess their sins against God and their neighbors. Offering Jonah to the congregation brings the same type of contemplation of God's attributes that we also depend on for our salvation. So, are we willing to let God be God? Salvation is the gift of grace, and the Jews use the Jonah story on Yom Kippur to remind themselves that they do not own that grace, nor is it theirs to gift. God forgives, because that is what God does. When I was a kid, we lived on a farm. Everyone in the district shared the same church because there were few people and only one church. I remember my dad telling me about our organist, and I remember as much about her story as I do about the fact that my father told it to me, a kid. My dad did not ever gossip, make snide comments, judge, or do any of that sort of behavior. So I was totally blown away that he confided in me. But he told me that he always admired our organist because of how she presented herself. She had had a very happy marriage and two wonderful sons, but her husband died, and she eventually remarried to give her sons a father figure. The new husband turned out to be a less than ideal husband and father. In fact, he was rather horrid. But she made the best of it. She was the best wife and mother and neighbor she could be. She was an example to her children, her husband, and her community. So the Jonah story is not just a whale tale. The message is meant for those of us mature enough to understand the ways of God and to face the ways we try to lay claim to God and his gift of grace. I work for the Family Support Council in Gardnerville. We, in turn, work for the underserved in our community. Most of our clients have chromosomal anomalies, Fragile X, and the various spectrums of autism. They get together on Thursdays at the local bowling alley. They are so thrilled to be together that they scream their happiness. They hug and laugh and delight in each other. They are so unabashedly open and loving that it takes my breath away. The lack of guile and ego is so full of grace that I often think that Congress could learn a thing or two by observing one of their Thursdays. That may be a tad uncharitable of me, but every Thursday I think of it. So here is to perceiving the glory of his marvelous works. Amen.